This is Rick Gentry. I want to thank everybody for listening today to Preaching Sunday on BPNRadio.com. I'm very excited to introduce to you from the great state of Texas, Donald Brown. Here's Donald.
Good evening, brothers and sisters in Christ. We once again want to thank God for each of you this evening. We want to praise God that each of you have a desire to listen once again to the Word of God. I want to thank our pastor, Dale Gentry, for allowing us this time to minister, and Jane for allowing us to be able to minister to you. We want to take a moment this evening and speak with you out of the book of John, chapter 4, and verse 10, 13, and 14. And it says that if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water. And anyone who drinks this water from the well will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. I believe this is a beautiful story of Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman. I like to entitle this message today, If You Only Knew. You remember the Samaritan woman that was ignored and avoided? And when Jesus asked her, or when she asked Jesus, rather, why he, a Jew, would ask her, a despised Samaritan, for a drink of water, I really like the way Jesus amazingly responded. He said that she would ask him for living water. The only thing that will satisfy her from within and satisfy her thirst for acceptance and love forever. I think this is so amazing of our Savior and how he did this. But although this woman had a past of looking for love in all the wrong places that imprisoned her in shame and self-loathing, but Jesus met her at her point of greatest need with the offer of himself, the living water. He knew all that she had ever done and yet offered her the true intimacy that fully satisfied every aching need. He invited her to discover. He invited her to taste and to experience his perfect and unconditional love. And I believe Jesus is saying the same thing to you and I today. If you only knew who it is who comes to you in your darkest and weakest moment. If you only knew this gift of God who will never leave you nor forsake you, who has gone before you and who comes to you in the midst of your storms. If you only knew the one who reaches out to you, even when you have failed, and who doesn't hold your past mistakes or present failures against you. Beloved, If you only knew this gift of God who offers the living water of his unconditional, endless love to you, and you drink of that love, you will never thirst again. You don't need to look for love or acceptance in all the wrong places. Have your heart broken and fearful about the future and have your life derailed. You can wake up with the fresh expectation of good every day. You see, Jesus was essentially inviting the woman to ask him for the living water of his love. Brothers and sisters, will you do that today? Your life will never be the same again when you personally experience his love. You see, in Jeremiah 31:3, Jeremiah says that the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, "Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you." I believe what Jeremiah is just basically saying here is, Jesus loves me. This I know. I heard a story of a minister years ago who was assigned to provide counseling in a state mental institution. And his first assignment was to a padded cell that housed deranged, barely clothed patients. He couldn't even talk to the inmates, let alone counsel them. The only response he got were groans and moans and demonic laughter. But then the Holy Spirit prompted him to sit in the middle of the room and for a full hour just sing the famous children hymn that goes, "Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong." Amazingly, nothing happened at the end of that first day, but for weeks, he persisted to sing the same melody with greater conviction each time. "Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so." And as the days passed, the patients began singing with him one by one. Amazingly, by the end of the first month, 36 of the severely ill patients were transferred from the high deficiency ward to a self-care ward. Within a year, all but two were discharged from the mental institution. And as one of the best known and loved hymns of all time, this hymn's ongoing popularity lies in its clearly expressed elegance in unveiling Jesus' heart. You see, it beckons one to recognize that no matter what challenge or failures and misdeeds one might be dealing with, the love of Jesus remains a constant. "Jesus loves me. This I know." How so? "For the Bible tells me so." So simple, yet so powerful. You see, whether you feel it or not, Jesus' constant love for you rests in the truth and on the foundation of his unchanging word. It proclaims that his love for you and me is based utterly and completely on him, on his promises, his work, and his grace. So today, let healing and rest for your soul come as you allow your heart to be anchored on this truth. You see, in 1 John 4:19, it says we loved him because he first loved us. So I ask, who you are in God's eyes. You see, do you believe that God loves you with an unchanging love today? Even if you had just failed or made a mistake. This, my friend, is where the rubber meets the road in our Christian walk every day. And I'm here to tell you beyond the shadow of a doubt that God loves you with an everlasting love. His love for you is unconditional, according to Titus 3:3-5. It is a love that is so pure, so pristine and marvelous. It has nothing to do with your performance, but everything to do with who you are in his eyes, his beloved. You see, the emphasis of the old covenant of the law was all about your love for God, whereas the emphasis of the new covenant of grace is all about God's love for you. The sum total of the law under the old covenant is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, according to Deuteronomy 6:5. It also says in Matthew 22:37-40. But let's be honest here. Have you ever met anyone who can love God this way? Of course not. It's a human impossibility. The law was designed to show us that we are incapable of loving God perfectly. And knowing that man wouldn't be able to fulfill his commandment to love him with all his heart, all his soul, and all his mind, and all his strength, do you know what God did? He demonstrated how only he could love us with all his heart, all his soul, all his mind, and all his strength when he sent his beloved son Jesus Christ to redeem us from all of our sins with his own blood. You see, this is why the new covenant is all about God's love for you and not your love for him. Under grace, God doesn't want you to focus your thoughts on, do I really love God? That's not the focus of the new covenant. Under grace, God wants you to focus on his love for you. Therefore, the question you should be asking yourself are, do I know how much God loves me today? Do I really believe that God loves me right now? Choose to believe right about how God loves you today. It makes all the difference in the world to how quickly you are able to get back on your feet and go from faith to faith and strength to strength in your walk with him. See, in Romans 8:38-39, when Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In other words, Paul was saying nothing means nothing. You see, I often hear people say, God loves us, or God loves me, or God's love is unconditional. But the moment they fail, all of a sudden, the love they once said was unconditional becomes contingent upon their behavior. Many believe that God loves them when they do right, but stops loving them the moment they do something wrong. Well, I'm going to shatter that wrong belief with the truth of God's word. While our love for God can fluctuate, his love for us always remains constant. His love for us is based on who he is and not based on what we do. I love just how confident and emphatic the Apostle Paul is when he says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, in the New International Version, it says, "For I am convinced." So, are you persuaded and convinced the way the Apostle Paul is that as a child of God, nothing, not even your sins, your failings, and mistakes can ever separate you from the love of God? Don't go by what you feel. Don't go by what you think or have been taught. God's word proclaims in no uncertain term that nothing can separate you from his love. Nothing means nothing. His love for you is not contingent on your immaculate performance. His love, he loves you even in your failings. That's why it is called grace. It is the undeserved, unmerited, and unearned favor of God. You see, if you can deserve God's grace, then it is no longer grace. So the next time you do something wrong, hold fast to his love as unconditional. Receive his love afresh, and you will have the power to overcome that failing and every struggle every time. See, it's really all about God's love. If you look in Luke 7 and 47, it says, "Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, but she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same love little." Hear her story is heart trending. In the Bible's account, this woman is described as a sinner, according to Luke 7 and 37. Many believe that she was a prostitute. And when she came to Jesus, he didn't chase her away. He didn't humiliate her or condemn her for her sins. He knew how guilt had been eating her up on the inside and had compassion for her. And as she neared Jesus, she began weeping. Then she washed his feet with her tears, wiped them with her hair, and anointed them with the precious ointment that would have cost her an entire year's wages. Without hesitation, she lavished it on Jesus' feet and worshiped him. In response, Jesus said that those who know and believe how abundantly God truly loves and has forgiven them will end up loving God very much. Simply put, those who have been forgiven much love much, and those who have been forgiven little love little. That's why the emphasis of the new covenant is not about your love for God. It is about God's love for you. Do you see that your love for God in the new covenant is birthed out of a genuine, authentic relationship with him? It is not a grueling display that is birthed out of the fear of punishment or religious obligations. Under grace, we are able to love God because he first loved us. That is why people under grace become the holiest people you will ever meet. Their holiness flows out of their love relationship with Jesus. They've experienced his unconditional love in an intimate and personal way that transforms them. They just want to live lives that glorify and honor the name of Jesus. So friends, we have all been forgiven much. But many of us don't know and don't believe this. So let's give up on trying to overcome your own failings and your own mistakes and addictions and bondages and imagining that God requires this for you before you can come before him. When you fail, come to Jesus with boldness and confidence as this woman did. Feel free to weep in his sweet presence and simply worship him. Pour out everything that is on your heart to him. And don't worry. He will not heap more guilt and condemnation upon you. He will remind you of the cross and say, your sins are already forgiven. I've already paid the price for your sins at Calvary. Rest in my forgiveness and love for you. I like the way the psalmist says it in Psalms 34 and 80. He says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. In other words, I believe here the psalmist is just plainly saying that we are destined to reign. I knew a man who struggled with sexual addictions for more than 10 years. He knew it was wrong, but he couldn't break free from those addictions, no matter how hard he tried. His conscience would plague him with reminders of his sins every time he tried to read the word. This fed his belief that he wasn't good enough for God and that God didn't want anything to do with him because of his addictions. This man lived in this realm of self-torture day after day. But he came to discover and believe in Jesus' finished work at the cross. He said that he just decided to rest in Jesus' finished work. His forgiveness, his victory, his grace, and his love, and pornography and masturbation now have no power or dominion over him. It's truly awesome, especially because he had tried for more than 10 years to get victory, and all it took was for him to know the truth and rest in Jesus' finished work. And all glory to God for what God has done. You see, I don't know what guilt you may be struggling with today, but God does. But you no longer have to live under the dictates of your consciousness, which condemns you every time you miss the mark. You see, the blood of Jesus cleanses your heart and be free from the prison of guilt to experience victory like that precious brother. And I encourage you to fill your heart with psalms, with hymns and spiritual songs that are full of God's love and grace. And when your heart is full of Jesus, wrong beliefs will begin to be replaced by right beliefs. Destructive addictions will be replaced by new positive habits. Fear, shame, and guilt will begin to dissolve in the warmth of his perfect love for you. Experience his love today. Let us pray. Father, you have destined me to have victory over every sin, every addiction, every fear in life through Jesus, your Son. And I come to you and I choose to rest in the finished work of Jesus at the cross. I believe his forgiveness, his victory, his grace, and his love are mine. And I receive your perfect love and power to break free from all guilt, condemnation, and shame. I am free in Jesus' name. And all praise and glory to you. Amen and amen.
You've been listening to Donald Brown today on Preaching Sunday. For more information, contact one of our team members at breakoutprayernetwork.com or visit us at bpnradio.com. Sure appreciate everybody listening today. Thank you.
This is Dale Gentry, president and founder of Breakout Ministries, reminding you that you are listening to Preaching Sunday here on bpnradio.com, across America and around the globe. For a complete listing of all of our preachers here on Preaching Sunday, go to bpnradio.com. And for more information on how you can preach each week, contact Rick Gentry at rickgentrybpnradio@gmail.com. Rick Gentry, bpnradio@gmail.com. To support Breakout Ministries, go to bpnradio.com and click the donate button. Thanks for listening to Preaching Sunday here on bpnradio.com. Stay tuned for another sermon on Preaching Sunday.